I wrote on the board, weighty matters. And I want to start in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, 23rd verse. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You know, I want to look at several things this afternoon and think a little bit about what the Lord was saying here. He wasn't telling us that the things they were doing weren't important, but he was just simply saying, you're doing those things and omitting the things of the heart that are so much more important. And so Jesus called them weightier matters. They're of more weight. They're more critical than the others. Somebody can get saved and know very little about serving God, but they've got their heart right. That's weighty. And that before God is weighty. And you know, the Lord wants to do some things in our hearts and bless us with some truths that we can diligently apply to our lives that makes so much difference in our life. It makes so much difference in our walk with God. And it makes so much difference in our walk with other people. These are weighty things. I want to read a couple of other scriptures before we kind of start working with some of the things we're thinking of. Matthew 15 and 15. Here was another place. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable." Now we heard about impetuous Peter. He always had something to say. "Now, Lord, tell us what you meant by this." And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now I want to ask you something. Do you think we should wash our hands before we eat? I think we should. I don't think Jesus was saying we shouldn't. But he was just simply saying, don't build your doctrine on that. Don't make that. These Pharisees had many, many, many things they had added to the law of Moses. They had a whole law of their own on top of what Moses gave them. And they had many, many things in there. One of them was that you had to wash your hands before you ate. Well, we believe that, don't we? But Jesus saw the iniquity of their hearts. And he said, out of the heart proceed some things, and this is important. This is the weighty matter. To wash your hands is a good thing, but the weighty matter is what's in your heart. And this afternoon, I pray God to help us. I feel in great need of help this afternoon. Matthew 22, pardon me for getting a little emotional. Matthew 22 and 36 says, somebody came to Jesus, a lawyer, and he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, you know, the things that is in our heart, they direct everything else in our life, really. many times, and these lawyers, that they weren't lawyers necessarily like we think of them today, but they dealt in the Word, many of them did. And they knew what it said, and they searched those things out, and they knew all of those things. But it took something greater than that to make them love their neighbor. That was a lot weightier matter, and yet they never knew it, and they never saw it, and they never got a hold of that thing. And so I'm thinking this afternoon, if God would put His big light on us today and just help us to understand a little more of who He is and what He has. When the Scripture says God is love, that's a tremendous statement to make. And, you know, He wants to put that in our heart. Now, He could tell us every last thing. He could write volumes. Now, when somebody does this, you do this. And when somebody does it, you do that. And if their cow gets out, you do that. And He did that in the Old Testament, didn't He, to some degree? But you know what He wants to put in our heart today is a very weighty matter. He wants to put His love in our heart. And no one escapes that then. No situation escapes that. Nothing we get into escapes that, because it's coming from our heart. And that's what Jesus over and over was trying to tell these people. There's something more weighty. Now do what they tell you to. Just don't do as they say, because their heart's not right. And so this afternoon, God help us to be a people that have weight in our heart, that has something of real value, strength, and integrity from the inside out. And then it will affect things in a way nothing else could. I want to look at 1 Peter 3 and 4. And we're all very familiar with this. Peter gives admonition here. He says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I have to think, if God inspires this word, and I believe He did, and He says, this is weighty, this is of great price here, then it's something for me to take ear to. It's something for me to apply my life to. Because we're not built this way. We're not built this way, folks. But you know what? God wants us to understand His thoughts and His ways. And He wants our hearts, by the Word of God and by our relationship with Him and our working and walking with Him and Him changing us, He wants us to be changed more and more every day into His image. And so it says here, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, these are costly things. They're not cheap, and they don't come cheap. These come hard. They come in ways. We want to talk about some this afternoon, but they're costly, they're valuable, and people that have them have value. People that have them have weight. They're weighty matters. They're weighty in our heart. They affect every part of our life. And so I want to look at some of this, that word meek right there. It says apparently a primary word, mild. That is, by implication, humble or meek. And so this afternoon I just want to look at some of what this means. What it means to our lives to be this kind of, to have this kind of gold, that God would say, you've got something of great price in you. Isaiah 66, I'm going to take not a detour, but just to add to the whole idea of what we're talking about today. Isaiah 66 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. Now, Adam Clark says that that's not a full rendition of what God wanted to say there. That he really said, all those things are mine. Those things are mine anyway, and I made them. And you can offer those things to me, and you know what? We ought to offer to God those a part of everything he gives to us. I believe that. But he goes on to say, all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I cannot tell you how many times I go back to this, because this is my mark. I want to reach that, because the scripture here says, I'm going to look to this man. That's a pretty big promise. If God looks to us, we're in pretty good shape. I think God has everything we need. You know, this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on dissecting this scripture, but it stands opposed to proud, haughty, self-confident, and self-righteous. That's what this is the opposite of. It's the opposite of proud, haughty, self-confident, and self-righteous. And I want to read one more with this, Isaiah 57 and 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, again, the Lord, here's his thoughts, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, the Lord says here that he dwells there. That is where he dwells. That is where his presence is. Do you know that where the presence of God is and where he is all there is? Everything that we could possibly need. All the answers that we need, doesn't God have them? All the enlightenment that we need, Lord, I just don't understand. Do we believe that God has all of that in his treasure house of wisdom? It's in him, and he has it. He has all of those things. All the protection that we need, he has. And he wants to give it to us. And he says here that he dwells with him. He dwells in the high and holy place. But it goes on to say that he also dwells with the humble and the contrite spirit. And so I want to talk a little bit this afternoon. And God help me. This is my mark, folks. I want to make it. I want to understand it. I want to apply it. I want to humble myself if I don't apply it. And when I find myself fall short of it, I want to readily acknowledge myself, because this is where God dwells. Folks, this is where we want to go. Now, I was thinking about some of these issues a little bit. The thing of love, the thing of humility. Does that mean that somebody that really has love for everybody, are they a jellyfish? Are they a pushover? Is that what it means? Somebody that's humble, are they just somebody that doesn't have a backbone? They don't have any bones. They're just jellyfish. Is that the way they are? I don't think so. I don't think it has anything to do with that. But he's talking about a spirit that's not lifted up in pride, that's not lifted up in self-confidence. You know, we can have all the confidence in the Lord that we want. He can do it all. And I can do all things through Christ. If I'm doing it through him, it'll be okay. I can do it through Christ. I can do that. And so this afternoon, I pray God to enlarge our hearts and minds to take in the Spirit of the Lord in our heart and in our life, and what it means to live there and to dwell there and what it means in our life and how we interact with our family and all of those kind of things this afternoon. I want to read a promise to us, and I believe that we can take this promise home. In Psalms 37 and 11, some of these scriptures I'm probably going to read quickly and just go on. I printed the scriptures. It says here, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." What a promise from God. This meekness that we're studying this afternoon is really so interrelated with what we read about a humble and a contrite spirit. It's very close to the same thing. And it's interrelated. And many of our ills and many of our troubles in life come from these weighty matters that the Lord is trying to teach us. Many of those things, for instance, love. Many of our ills come from not having the weight in our heart of love that is fully like the Lord. And so as we begin to look at some of the promises that God has given to the meek and try to understand, Lord, would you help us this afternoon to understand and to bring out, I'll just say, I have a number of promises here. The meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Are we going to stand? Are we going to inherit this world, this globe? I hope that's not it. But I have to believe that the promised land is something God wants us to inherit. The spiritual ground of our life. The spiritual ground that God promised His people of peace. The spiritual ground that He promised families. I believe we can set our foot on that like Joshua did and claim those places for the Lord. And so many of the times it starts with getting weight in our heart. Getting the weightier matters deep within our heart and life. Understanding the ways of God because they work. God's ways work. When it says the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, that's a blessed promise. Matthew 5 and 5 tells us, blessed are the meek, happy, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalms 22 and 26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. You know, what some promises that we have here that the meek will enjoy these things. I want to read a little more of the definition because many of these words are different words. Although they're very close to the same thing. The one in Matthew 5 and 5, I believe that's the same as the other one. Mild, that is, by implication, humble or meek. The one in Matthew 11 and 29 says gentle, that is humble or meek. The one in Psalms 37 and 11 in the Hebrew, the second form is by intermixture with H6041 and 6031, depressed figuratively in mind, gentle or circumstances, needy, especially saintly, humble, lowly, meek, poor. And then in James 1 and 21, which maybe we'll read here after a while, mildness, that is by implication, humility or meekness. So I want us to think a little bit about what this actually means. I was thinking one time I drove up into Guthrie and I saw a young fellow that had constantly been in trouble with the police. And there was just something about him. When they showed up, something happened in him. And it wasn't weighty. And so he just peeled out right in front of them. He just come out of a parking lot and swung around and took off. And that was his way. I wonder, what do you think happened to him? You know, over and over he got in trouble. He got stopped by the police so many times. So much trouble. And that's the way it is with the flesh. It brings so much trouble. Sometimes, I'll just use our home, for example. It's probably the easiest thing. I believe if we win in our home, we can win anywhere. You know, sometimes our children will try to tell us things. And we are in authority, aren't we? And we need to hear what they have to say. And do you know that if we bear down our great self-righteous, self-confident, proud level of authority, we just missed what they said. And what they still have in their heart is what they said. And we just made them do what we... You do this. This is what I'm telling you you've got to do. Do you know that, saints, these things reach way down into our lives. And it matters. And so lots of times we suffer in our homes because we have not taken the energy. It's easy to look into the doctrines, and these things you ought to do. Believe me, I love that. I'm thankful for it. It's easy to look into those things and just have them right down the line. But I'll tell you, it's not so easy to say on. I think I need what you're saying. Or maybe you don't think you need it and still say on. That's meekness. That's gentleness in that situation. Do you know what that builds? It begins to build between us and those that we're working with. It begins to build a respect. It even begins to build a love. And it opens the channel and the door for all the blessings that the Lord wants to give us. In fact, it opens the door to God Himself blessing us. That's where He said He dwells. He dwells in that place. Now, that's not human. That's not normal, is it? And so we can't search that out of the Scripture and just have it. It comes from God Himself. You know, tonight, this afternoon, the Lord wants us to search Him out and find Him. He says, these things are costly. These things have value. These things have weight. These things are weighty. Do you know they come at a great cost?
Yes,
the cost is to ourself. Because we have to, knowing that we have the power to say, son, I said so. I know there's a time to say, son, I said so. I've done it many times. But I will tell you, there's a time to listen. And we've got to know the difference. The Lord help us to have that kind of spirit in our life. Because God fights for us when we do. Think about our wives. You know, I have found that not everybody has a wonderful marriage. Probably the understatement. Not everybody has a wonderful marriage. Do you know what many times it is? Somebody just needs a little more weighty, a little more value from God Himself. Not something you can search out in a book altogether. It'll tell you a lot of the things God wants to do from here. But you know what the Lord really wants? He wants our heart to seek Him. Lord, help me to be this kind of person. Help me to respond to my family like that. Help me, Lord, to humble myself. Help me to humble myself to my wife. I thought the Bible said for her to obey me. You know what? If you don't ever humble yourself to your wife and listen to her and change your ways, you're missing something really big. Missing something really great. And do you know that all of our relationships, they come out from who we are and from our home then and they go out to everywhere else. And who we are affects all of that. And so the Lord put us in the most difficult situation of all. He hooks us up real tight. You can't get away. You've just got to either humble or be proud. And you got to do those things. And do you know that the Lord, in His mercy and in His unbelievable wisdom, He hooked us up like that. And so many times we search out somebody that's totally different than we are, don't we? And it's not always easy, is it? But I will tell you what the promises that we read says. The meek will inherit. They'll inherit the promises. You want peace in your heart and life? You want peace with your brother? You want peace with your family? This is our best shot right here. Put this in our heart and in our life. Now we can, and I've seen this same thing happen. The fellow that took off in the car, I knew him well. I saw it happen. You know, I've seen that happen in homes. You know how many times, folks, that we sit with people and we want to help? Folks, these things are of solid gold. You want the Lord to be smelling in your home? You want Him to be a front to the enemy? See, we open the door to the enemy when we have our own self on display and on hand. When we brazenly are the opposite of meek and humble and gentle, we open the door to the enemy to come in and cause havoc on every side. And so when we learn the good ways of the Lord, we begin to see fruit come from that. We begin to see, you know, I always wanted a good relationship. I always wanted to be able to speak practically anything with my spouse and my, you know, with my children. Do you know that that's possible? Do you know? But it comes by having our hearts, some weighty things in there. And we can't learn these out of a book. We learn these from the one that wrote the book. We have to know Him. We have to humble ourselves before Him. We come along and we think, well, they need what I say. And you snap it off. And along comes the Lord. You shouldn't have said that like that. Do you know that our response to that either opens the door to the Lord being able to change us, or it opens the door to the devil hardening us making our, what was the word Brother Marty used the other day, searing ourselves. And pretty soon we don't even hardly know it. It's a tragic thing that happens over and over. And the Lord wants to bless our lives. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us His own presence. Folks, it comes to people that humble their hearts before God and allow Him to have that place in our hearts and in our lives. The blessings that we get through humbling ourselves, I could not say enough about them. It's one of the key elements in our lives. One of the key elements. It's one of the weighty matters. It's like the Lord said that to love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourselves, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You know what? Real close up there, I believe, God said, I dwell with the man that's humble and of a contrite spirit. I dwell with the meek and the humble. That's who I'm going to dwell with. Folks, we have to bring ourselves under and subject ourselves to the Lord, that He might reign in our lives and that He might give us those blessings that we can inherit the promises that God has given to us. Many precious promises He has given. They come by us humbling ourselves and allowing God in that place. Now, again, I want to say this. It has nothing to do with being spineless. Folks, it has everything to do. There is a way to, in the right humble, godly, loving disposition to handle your family. There is a way to do that where it does not, and you can give correction, you can spank, you can do those things and still have no resentment from it many times. Now, I'm not saying you'll never encounter that, but I believe in the long haul, if we'll learn to live that way, the Lord will help us to be able to conquer those places. And so many times, the Scripture talks one place about troubling our own house. Many times, where is the trouble coming from? They're just rebellious. They just won't. That may be true. And maybe we missed it 20 years before. I'm not getting after us this afternoon. God help us. The precious promises of the Lord are to us if we'll humble our hearts before it, if we'll walk with Him. In James 3 and 17, I like to give this to everyone practically that we counsel with that's having any kind of marriage issues or whatever. It says, but the wisdom, well, I'll start just above that. 14. But if ye have bitter, there's a lot of bitter things. If you have bitter anything, envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You know, we can get to where we can defend those things. They can be ours, and they'll cause us so much trouble as we read on. It goes on to say, this wisdom like that, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do you know it don't hold its own? It opens the door to so many other things. And so, but it goes on and gives us hope and gives us the answers. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. You know what pure is? It's unmixed. It's not mixed. Now, I will tell you, if our wisdom is mixed with strife, if our wisdom is mixed with anger or hurt feelings or whatever, it's going to be off base. It's not going to be the kind that brings the blessing of the Lord. It's going to be the wisdom that opens the door for all of Satan's work that he wants to do in our lives this afternoon. Then it says the wisdom is peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. That means easy to talk to. Do you know that we ought to be this way? We ought to be gentle. If we're gentle and we're easy to talk to you, do you know your son and your daughter will be able to come up and talk to you about anything? And I found it to be so. It takes time to understand these kind of concepts. And it took me a long time. I was kind of a slow learner. But I will tell you, I began to understand. You know what? I need this. And I still need this. When we can be peaceable and gentle, and when our son or daughter or wife or husband can talk to us about anything, I want to tell you, the Lord has given us a very precious place there. I want to encourage us this afternoon to make it so in your home. Take this place. Take this by force. Put your foot on it and tell the Lord, Lord, you promised this. You didn't put this out there just in case somebody might be able to attain to it. You put it there for your people. And you made precious promises. And you said that they would inherit the earth, the promises of God, the land that God said He would give to His people. And you gave that. Now, Lord, I want that in my life. And I want to encourage us today. You don't have to find relationships very long to find out that pretty soon there's some struggle going on. That's okay. God made us so totally different. He made us. We're going to have to struggle through these things, folks, with each other. We're going to have to struggle through. But if we If we will humble our hearts to one another, if we will have a spirit of love and gentleness and kindness, if we can maintain those things, do you know, I don't think there's anything that cannot be worked through. Nothing. And I just want to encourage us today that God help us to be these kind of people. This is the weightier stuff. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, this is the stuff that's, this is the wisdom that works. This is the wisdom that works. When there's partiality, when there's favoritism in a family, you know what it does? I have seen it just destroy. I mean, it will just tear up until some children come up and they have these complexes that they never get over many times. It's a terrible disease. The wisdom that's from above, it's weighty. It's good. It's good stuff. It's something to open our heart to and allow the Lord to put it in there. It's good enough for us to humble ourselves to and say, you know what? I was a little partial there. I did not realize it. I'm sorry. And you know, if we will see how these things work together, if we will be easy to be entreated and all of that, somebody will tell us, Dad, you was partial. I feel like you was partial. No, it wasn't. I told you. No. Okay, son, I'll consider it. You know what? Let's take it to the Lord. When you're humble like that, He dwells there. He might just tell us some gold nugget that changes the whole dynamics of our family and of all of our influences everywhere we are, everywhere we go. And so this afternoon, the Lord help us to walk in meekness of wisdom and to allow the Lord to teach us His ways. Oh, how we need that. Psalms 25 and 9. I'm just going to kind of go through and over several scriptures here. Listen to these promises. The meek will He guide in judgment. Wow, what a promise. Who's He going to guide in judgment? I need that one. Everybody's wanting wisdom. They need wisdom they need answers. What do we do? You know what the Lord says? I'll guide the meek in judgment. I'll give them good judgment. He says, and the meek will He teach His way. What a promise. Psalm 76 and 9, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Psalms 147 and 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. You know, when we recognize the value of these things, I believe it's worth the cost. It's worth humbling ourselves for, because that's the only way we get it. So this afternoon, I just want to share those little thoughts with you. God help us today to have the weightier matters. I know we deal with many things we believe. I believe in that. But I will tell you, at the core, we have to know the Lord. At the core, we have to love everybody. At the core, we have to love God supremely. At the core, we have to be meek and gentle and of a quiet spirit. Not a spirit that rises up in its own self-defiance. This is what the Lord is wanting to give us today, I believe. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures if you'll let me here. So Isaiah 29 and 19 says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be all right with me. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 61 and 1, a prophecy of the Lord Himself. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He anointed him to preach good tidings to those that would humble their hearts and listen to His words. Do you know this afternoon, the Lord, we have to just humble ourselves and listen. God teaches us in 1,000 ways. It's not just one or two ways. He teaches us in many ways. And I believe He wants to anoint His Word to us. And He does that to the meek. Have you ever sat in a service and one person was blessed all over and another person just didn't get a thing? And just, you know what? The Lord will just anoint His Word to us and bless it to us and give us from it. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Zephaniah 2 and 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which hath wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness and seek meekness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. What a promise today. Seek those things. Is this something that we have to seek? I believe it's worthy to really put our heart in life. Lord, change me. I'm not as meek as I need to be. I see myself, and I want You to change me, and I want You to help me. I want to inherit the promises of God. I want You to pass over me in Your anger. I want You to look to me and teach me Your ways. I want You to show me Your paths. You know that comes as a promise to the meek. That's who it comes to. Listen to what the Lord promised in Matthew 11 and 29. He said, take My yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now He says, I want you to take My yoke on you. You know what a yoke does? It hooks you up with someone else. And He said, I want you to come and I want you to hook up with Me. Now I'm meek and lowly in heart. I want you to hook up with Me. I want you to walk with Me like that. And you'll find rest to your souls. What a privilege we have today to have rest to our souls. It's to the meek, folks. It's to the meek. This is something weighty. Of everything we could teach and preach, there's few things weightier than to have love in our lives and in our heart for God and man, and to have meekness in our soul. There's few things weightier than that. This is where we could put some real emphasis. This is where we could put some real hard labor. Labor? I thought the Lord did it all. I'll tell you what, He don't humble our hearts. We do. We can steel ourselves against the dealings of the Lord. And I've seen people do it. And I've seen the enormous cost. The enormous cost. I could not state it enough. The devastating, total destruction cost that comes to that. But you know, to the meek, He'll give us those many blessed promises. So in all of our wanting to do God's will and do it right and all of those things, folks, let's saddle up with the Lord. And they spit in His face, didn't they? Then they put a crown of thorns on His head. That wasn't enough. They hit on it. And then they mocked Him. And you know what? To me, that was probably one of the hardest things He bore. He was the Lord of glory. He knew in a moment I could call 12 legions of angels and all this would be obliterated. He could have done that. But He says, I want you to come. I want you to yoke up with Me. Get in this side here. I'm going to walk through this thing with you. Through your battles. I'm going to walk through it with you. And I want you to yoke up and harness with Me. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest to your soul if you'll do that. You know the Lord, it says of Him, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt the foal of an ass. Do you know that's what the Lord came on? He could have so easily chosen a golden and ivory throne. He could have come, a jet would have been nothing. The Lord could have swooped down in great power and that's what they thought, that He would do something to that effect. They never could get a hold. Now they could get a hold of the little minor things like washing your hands. They could get a hold of the little things, that all these little things, and they had them. Those Pharisees went around and they had stuff written on their forehead and on their arms and all of these things. And they just had it all together, but their hearts were wicked. Their hearts were cruel. Their hearts were sick. They did many things in spite of all of their great show. But the Lord said, "Come unto me. I'm meek and lowly. I'll give you rest to your souls." May the Lord help us today. Oh, Paul got a hold of it. He said, "I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you." Paul was a person, we've seen his writings, we've read them many times. We know that they were bold sometimes. They were strong. Paul had strength. He was not a jellyfish. He was not spineless. But he said, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Paul had learned some things, and Paul won many converts. Congregations were established as God worked through him and those with him. The scripture tells us meekness and temperance against such, there is no law. Is there any place that we don't have to be meek? I've had people tell me this. I mean, folks, people right among us, and I'm just going to be honest about it. Sometimes we don't understand these weighty things, and we don't understand that, no, there's never a time for us not to be meek. Now, sometimes in our mind, we get to thinking so, and then we realize, "Lord, help me to understand it better than that. Next time, when I'm in the battle, help me to know. Help me to understand. Help me to know it ahead of time so that I don't have to realize it later after the cost of things." And so there's no law against it. There's no place it won't work to be meek and gentle. We might have to be firm, and Paul was firm, but there's never a time that we don't have to be meek and gentle. And so there's a lots and lots of scripture on this. I'll just leave you mostly with that. James 3:13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But God, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's supposed to be the way we present the gospel, the way we present ourselves to people, the way we present the Lord to people, with meekness. Not everybody that asks us a reason of the hope is asking it with meekness and gentleness. Sometimes it's in jest and in fun, or fun on our on against us. And we find that, but the scripture tells us that to answer them and give them an answer with meekness and fear. God help us today to really saturate our lives with weighty things. It'll open doors for you and me that nothing else will open. It'll break down walls that nothing else can break down, folks. It'll go places that nothing else can. It's weighty. What else could break through the walls that people build? Hardly anything. You could hit on them all day long, and there's nothing, you couldn't do it. But approach it with this mighty weapon of God, and the walls come tumbling down. And so often they do when we do that. And it takes time. We can't go just do it one time. We have to become that kind. We have to allow it to become a part of who we are. Gold in the heart. Weight in the heart. Weight in the life. Weight in what we say. Weight in who we are and what we do. May the Lord bless all of us today. Amen.